Happy Thursday. It's the Ira Kaufman Podcast, starring the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Ira Kaufman. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee D. Kemper is on assignment at the NFL Scouting Combine, working his ass off. And, of course, Ira is here, presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Not only his work on Joe Bucks Fan, but all these podcasts. Let me say something, Ira, real quick. You know, it's March 1st when this podcast pops. That means all the new offers from March will be trickling in very quickly at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. So we don't have them all in detail. So we're just going to talk 70 plus years of Ed Morse, family-owned dealership across Florida. Very impressive. These are Hillsborough County's only Cadillac dealerships. Excellence over there is unmatched, and I know you're proud to have them as your sponsor, and you wear their gear almost 24/7.
We'll be in New York soon, and I'm wearing Ed Morse gear. I expect to see turn a few heads over there at Times Square, Steve, which is not easy because you've been to Times Square, and you know, if you're going to try to top the local entertainment and turn some heads, it's not easy. Steve, couple of things. The Kemper's out of sight, but he's certainly not out of mind. He did a fantastic job for you and I because he gave us all the audio from Dirk Cutter and Jason Light speaking at the Combine so you and I can talk about it on this podcast. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, exactly. We're recording this lunchtime Wednesday, and Cutter and Light had two different speaking engagements, maybe an hour worth of talking, and we've already heard all of it, so we're up to speed.
Let me start off, Steve, on a positive note, and by that I mean taking my my little rapier out and us chopping somebody up, and in this case it's NFL Network, in case our listeners didn't see my tweet this morning. What are you doing, NFL Network? You've got John Gruden at the podium for the first time in 10 years. 10 years has not been at a combine podium. There he is at 9:30 in the morning. I'm looking all over the internet, can't find it. I put on NFL Network. They show about 6 minutes of Gruden. He's fantastic. He's talking about Marshawn Lynch, anything out there, talking about going back to 1998. I don't care about the analytics. Next thing I know, here's Nate Burleson, you know, talking to Kay Adams, Lee's favorite. What are they talking about? The charisma dripping from Gruden at the podium. I'm screaming at the TV. Go back to Chucky. What the hell are you doing? I don't know who's running this NFL Network thing, but I cannot believe Nate Burleson moves the needle more than John Gruden. Where am I wrong here?
Well, it's just kind of funny to cut away from a guy's news conference that's going well, and it's short. These news conferences are timed at 14 minutes each to cut away to just to talk about how great he is to watch. It's like, well, then let us watch him, you know, at least go split screen or something.
You know, I understand Kay Adams is lovely over there. You know, Lee DeKemper's infatuated. What female is Lee DeKemper not infatuated with, Steve? Now, he's not here to defend himself. I'll wait till next week.
Well, but I don't think you need to defend yourself, you know, on that, but that's a question for next podcast.
I don't even know the name of the third guy. It wasn't Schrager. Schrager was an indie. There's another guy over there on the set with Burleson, but of all things to be talking about, Gruden's fantastic at this podium. Listen to the pearls of wisdom. I go, let me listen to it. So that's my first salvo. And then, you know, we're going to get to Light and Cutter in a hurry over here.
So that's your rapier, as you called it?
That's my machete towards NFL Network.
There you go. All right, Ira, there's so many places to go. Now, just for the fans who are catching up to speed, every year at the Combine, Cutter, Light, they have news conferences for all the media there. And it's, like I said, 13, 14 minutes.
Sometimes there's two or three going on in the same room.
Yeah. They've got three different podiums. They're going on it multiple times. But the national guys are mixed in with the only three locals that were up there, including Lee. And then afterwards, Light and Cutter individually step aside with the local guys and give them their own little news conference, a little more relaxed, Buccaneers specific, obviously.
Right.
Versus the national guy coming in saying, hey, Jason.
Know, what do you think of the 15-yard penalty on pass interference?
Right, or where's this draft deep this year? How do you compare this O-line class with 2006 or something like that?
Fans want to hear about Noah Spence, you know.
Exactly. So we've heard some of that audio, and there's so many directions to go in, Ira. We're not going to even go in all of them today. And some of them are so bizarre, we have to digest them a little bit more. But let me take you here, Ira. J.R. Sweezy, I'll take you there first. Jason Light was asked whether Sweezy is healthy and how do you evaluate his play. And Light, now, if for fans who don't remember, against on John Gruden night, Sweezy limped off the field, was lost for the season. early in the first half of that game. It was some sort of foot, ankle injury. You know, everything's top secret with Sweezy from we can gather.
And you're not getting anything out of Cutter about injuries.
No.
You know.
So we find out from Jason Light that he says Sweezy's still rehabbing. He's not healthy. Light says, well, hopefully we get him back. OTAs maybe over the summer.
Hopefully.
Yeah, well, that's what he said.
Steve, this season's been over 2 months.
10 weeks.
What kind of injury is this?
The guy's been, season's over 2 months. The guy's been injured for 10 weeks. What the heck happened to him? And now is there another hole at right guard? What's going on?
Absolutely, because, you know, look at the interior, and I think Cutter touched on it a little bit today. The interior of the offensive line, Holy's not coming back. Smith's a free agent. He's probably gone. Panfield's a free agent. We don't know what's going on there, and we don't even know how he graded out last year. He lost the starting job after week one. All of a sudden, he's rotating with Evan Smith. And you got Marpet at center, you know, who's trying to do a career transition here. So, look, if you're going to be weak in the interior of the offensive line, that spells trouble for Jameis Winston. He wants to step up in the pocket. That's one of the great things about the Saints over the years. Sean Payton makes sure that Breeze has a pocket to step up into. He's 6'1". He's got to have some cushion over there. And every week, the teams that play the Saints, we're going to go right up the middle against Breeze. We're going to throw him off his spot. It doesn't happen, Steve.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen. Now, the guy's got great pocket presence. I understand that. But Winston's got good pocket presence, but he's still learning. We got there's problems on the interior of the offensive line. Not that Sweezy, you know, was Will Shields last year, Steve. Let's not get carried away.
He wasn't even Will the Fresh Prince.
So what is going on with Sweezy? You know, it's just one, Steve, of what I found to be several troubling aspects of the Cutter Light press conferences.
Yeah, I was very troubled by that. Again, not because I think Sweezy's a good player, and not because I think he had a good season last year. But what troubles me, Ira, is I believe the regime likes him a lot. Now, I know this for a fact. And I believe they're going to bank on him again. I felt like they're going to still bank on him, which you just can't do that. Are you going to go into free agency in 13 short days knowing that Sweezy isn't healthy yet and not address that too? You got holes at both guards, and you got a guy playing center who probably should be a guard and things.
Steve, when you pull back and look at it, it could be a driving force, if they're so inclined, and I don't think they are, but if they are, it could be a driving force to even think about moving Marpet back to guard and getting another center, which we have talked about. I don't think that would be a terrible idea. There's some good centers in the draft. There's some good centers in free agency. Unlike pass rushers, center's a spot where there's guys that can help you immediately. But like you're just saying, you figured you counted on Sweezy as a right guard, and now you don't know about Sweezy. Certainly the left guard spot's wide open. So there's a lot of unanswered questions about the Buck offensive line right now, and Dotson's coming off an injury. Steve, I think they look at Sweezy a little bit like they look at Hargraves, and I'm talking about Jason Light here in this respect. You spent a first-round pick for Hargraves. He struggled big time in 2017. He got hurt. Sweezy was one of your free agent splashes in 2016. So what I'm saying is you don't readily give up on these guys, even if they struggle, and Sweezy did struggle, and also injuries. Same thing as Hargraves. They want these guys to succeed, Steve. They're going to bend over backwards to give these two guys every chance to be major contributors because it's on Light's record. It's on Light's resume, and we know the pressure that Jason Light and Cutter are under. That's a factor going forward. If these guys didn't pick Sweezy in free agency or didn't draft Hargraves, they might look at these guys very differently, Steve.
Oh, I completely agree with you, except the Sweezy thing is different, Ira, because first year he gets here, he doesn't play, he doesn't practice. Mysterious back surgery.
That looks bad right there.
That looks bad. And year two, he comes in. He's not the nasty guy they said he was going to be. He didn't. His nastiness didn't rub off.
He was okay.
He was okay at best, and he got hurt, and he's not healthy now, so how much longer do we need to play charades here? Isn't 2 years enough to wipe the slate? Are they going to, you know what I mean?
Well, they still feel that Sweezy, when healthy, can be effective. They
at least
feel
Hargraves
that
had a good year. Or for a rookie, solid rookie year, nothing great. You know, not a budding pro bowler, but solid rookie year. One bad year, he got hurt. Okay, he's 22 years old. Sweezy, 29, banged up. I don't know. It's scary, Ira, but let me roll to the guard talk because Dirk Cutter got more into the guard talk on Kevin Pamphiel. Lee asked him about Kevin Pamphiel, and essentially, to boil it down, Cutter's...
It's clear he went backwards. He went backwards.
Yeah, he said Kevin wasn't the player he was in 2016, And, you know, he never really grabbed hold of that left guard job. We were hoping he would win it. And, you know, I like Kevin, is what he said.
Can you make that decision by week two, Steve? They made that decision by week two last year. That seems a little, that seems like a quick hook to me with Pamfield. Was he that bad?
Well, forget about that, only because it's a little bit unclear. Pamfield was out with what was called an illness. You remember some of the guys had the flu early in the year with the Bucks, Evan Smith and some others, and Swaggy had the flu, and he caught everything except quarterbacks.
Well, yeah, he got it from that tree, the tree.
Yeah, disease tree. Now, Pamfield, I remember I wrote up that he was in the guys with the illness and the flu, and I got a text from somebody at the Bucks saying, you're jumping the gun thinking that Pamfield's illness is the flu. And I said, you know what? You're right. I was being assumptive there, but maybe he was sick the first couple of weeks.
But he started week one. He did start week one.
Whatever it was, it lasted a while, and he never snapped out of it. But he started late in the year, and he played pretty well. He was on the field when the Bucs offense was better, but Cutter downplayed seemingly all that today. And so it looks like Pamfield is the kind of guy they look at as, well, hey, if you want to come and sign here for backup money, we'll take you because we like your versatility, but you ain't a starter, and good luck on the market.
They're going to let him test the free agent market, and I think they're banking on the fact that he's not going to be one of the more enticing free agents out there, and he could end up back with the Bucks, and I think that's a possibility.
So they're down on Pamfield. Nobody's talking about bringing Evan Smith back.
Hawley's gone,
and Sweezy's banged up, and that's not pretty at guard. Now let me take you to...
That takes me right to my column over there, Stephen.
Before we get to your column, though, which is your Wednesday column, Josh Sitton is on the market. Four-time Pro Bowler.
McCoy loves that guy.
With the Packers.
Always talks about
McCoy always talks about the guy. I'm glad you remembered that. He was with the Bears. Blair blowing up the roster over there in Chicago. New coach. And now he's going to be on the market. The guy's been durable. He knows what it looks like. How much money is he going
to
come in?
I'm trying to remember if he normally lines up at left guard or right guard.
He's a left guard.
I think it is left guard because that's more of McCoy.
Is that a no-brainer signing for the Bucs?
Well, if you get him at the right price, I think it's a no-brainer. I think that's absolutely a no-brainer, and it wouldn't prohibit me from drafting a guard, in the first four rounds. But Sitton's a good player, and that's what you do, Steve. You take advantage. You take advantage of other teams that are having salary cap issues, they're rebuilding, and you swoop in. That's what you do, and you get the guy on your terms. And Sitton's a guy I'd certainly be looking at.
To me,
now he's not 23 years old.
No, he's 31. Feels like a no-brainer kind of signing, a Mankins-esque kind of signing. He's got 13 playoff games under his belt, I looked up. They don't really have an experienced guy. You just got rid of Hawley. It looks like Smith isn't coming back. Who's that?
You know what? The Bears' running game hasn't exactly been too shabby the last couple of years with Sitton leading the way for a couple of good backs they have over there. That's the strength of the Bears, running the football.
Yeah, look, even if he's an average starter, I think just to secure the position, because they clearly didn't have that last year, it's an upgrade, right?
You're all about upgrades, Steve. Upgrades.
Isn't that what it's about? Just upgrade.
Just because you can't hit a home run, get a double.
Exactly. Hit a double. Walk. Get hit by – stick your ass in there. Get hit by the pitch. Do something. Anyway, now seriously, all right, another guy though, because since you're a Chiefs fan, right? Everybody knows.
I'm still fuming over this Marcus Peters thing. This is crazy.
You're the one guy to ask.
What are you doing? Giving this guy away? What the hell's going on?
Well, Marcus Peters, right?
What are you doing, Kansas City?
Super cornerback, super talent, little
ball skills off the charts.
Screwy in the head. Did the Bucs not get this guy because they don't have the locker room to deal with a guy like that?
They say they talked to 28 out of 31 teams. Well, first of all, why don't you wait till the draft? You know, things change on draft day. Very, very quickly.
You don't like the trade by the Chiefs.
I don't like the trade by the Chiefs. Are you kidding me? What a steal by the Rams. Now, look, he can be a problem. You better have the right locker room, and maybe you're right. Maybe the Bucks with the experience with Baker last year, T.J. Ward, he ain't coming back for a reason. Part of it is he's not the player he was, and part of it is not a very good locker room presence. Peters is a wild man, but as you said, he's a young Pro Bowl cornerback who's got a knack for getting his hands on that football, and when he gets his hands on it, he does a lot of damage with it, Steve. A third-round pick from the Rams, that's a low third-round pick. The Rams had a good record. And a number two in 2019, are you kidding me? You can't do better than that for Marcus Peters. The Bucs are not interested, whether they could have brought Brent Grimes back or not. From a KC perspective, I think it's a disaster.
They might have been interested. But the guy on the Chiefs, that I'm looking for your input here as we stick on the offensive line theme. Free agent, Zach Fulton, center, guard, starter for the Chiefs for the last 4 years. You know, they've had some good teams the last 4 years. He's certainly, Andy Reid's an offensive line guy. I don't think he'd have a piece of garbage in there. You know, this is a young free agent, versatile. He wants to get paid.
They had the league's leading, the rushing leader last year as a rookie. Well, you're talking about moving Marpet back to guard at that point?
Well, Fulton's also played guard. He's played center. I don't know. Now, not a lot of people know about Zach Fulton, but that's kind of some ways good for an offensive lineman. You know?
I'd say slight upgrade. I know the Chiefs, Steve. He hasn't turned any heads in Kansas City. I'm still trying to get over this Peters thing, but that's old milk.
Old milk.
Old milk.
You don't hear that
expression. And spoiled milk. And spoiled milk, I might say. Fulton. I've got a cursory interest. I'm not making a full run at him.
Sitton's your pounce guy.
Yeah,
he's your pounce guy.
Well, my real pounce guy's in the draft.
All right, so let's go to that.
Let's go there. So you can dismiss this theory.
No, this is interesting because we're talking Quentin Nelson of Notre Dame, monster by everybody's account.
Brute.
Didn't write it up yet, but Daniel Jeremiah, the former scout, he was a scout for 7 years, college quarterback, does a great job.
Well respected.
Very well respected by personnel people, and he does a great job on NFL Network as one of their year-round draft guys. He has a great podcast. Anyway, he was doing an interview somewhere else.
Wait. Is his podcast rated more highly than mine, Isbitz?
Just a little, Ira.
All right.
Just a little.
All right. Let's get that clear.
Especially this time of year. He was actually on the Jim Rome show, and he was saying that, you know what, of all the film that I watched, it's Nelson's film that is going to have the biggest chatter at the combine among...
Of every prospect?
Every prospect. That it's Nelson's film, that's the standout film on no matter what the position.
I didn't even see that before I wrote the column. I would have used it.
No matter what... I didn't write it up yet.
Regardless of position,
that's the guy with the film that makes you go, holy... So, are you all in on this guy?
I am. The more I read about him,
the more I hear people talking about it. Sage is all in.
Now, look, is he going to be there at 7? I don't know, but I make this point in my column, Steve. Since 1996, it's more than 2 decades, there's only been 2 guards that have been taken in the top 5. Now, the Bucs pick 7, so there's 1 slot there. Okay, that's quibbling. You know, I think the Jets might be at 6 or whatever, and they could take him. But anyway, only 2 guys. Leonard Davis, who played for 10 years and made 3 Pro Bowls, certainly not a bust. The other guy named Jonathan Ogden, he was drafted as a guard, played guard first year with the Ravens, and then he moved to left tackle. The guy's in the Hall of Fame, first time eligible. I'm not saying Nelson's going to get a bust in Canton. I'm not ready to say that, but the guy's film is incredible. Who knows down the line if they want to move him to left tackle? You never know. That's not a bad option. He's athletic enough to be versatile.
So you're saying you think he'll get a bust in Hooters off Gandy? Is what you're saying?
There's no question about it. Steve, if he's there, he's going to be tough to pass by. Now, I know there's Chubb fans out there or whatever. Don't reach. That's part of my column. Don't reach light. And don't take Marcus Davenport if Quentin Nelson's sitting there because you need a pass rusher. That doesn't work. That'll kill you, ultimately. If the Bucs board, this is the key, the Bucs board rates players regardless of position, gives them a numerical rating. If Nelson is at 6.7, and is a defensive end who's at 6.1, you got to take Nelson. First of all, Steve, can you look at me and say they don't have a weakness at guard right now? Can you say he doesn't fit?
We just spent 10 minutes talking about
it. So I said, take your highest rated player at 7, unless he's a quarterback. Quarterback, forget about. And it's not going to be a wide receiver. And it's not going to be a tight end. But if it's a running back, you know, if it's a D end, if it's a corner,
well,
you take him.
All right. I hate the term reach.
You take him, Steven.
No, I'm not disagreeing with you, okay? Lee is not into Nelson. He's made it clear that if you can somehow get an amazing running back in free agency like Le'Veon Bell, then draft Nelson and go all in.
Will you stop with Le'Veon Bell? Come on.
Now,
he's going to be franchised. Forget
about Le'Veon Bell. I'm not against drafting the guy. I'm not against drafting Nelson, but I just don't think it necessarily fits. I just don't think it fits.
You just spent the first 10 minutes telling me about all kinds of issues at guard over here. Explain yourself, Mr. I.
Well, because I hate the term reach. Okay, I look at it this way. GMs, maybe, and tell me if I'm way off base here, but I think, Ira, GMs should have a list of players who they think are can't-miss NFL players. that these guys, they can't miss.
And there might be five of them.
And maybe they have 8, 9, 14, whatever. That these guys will come in and be good NFL players, maybe great. I just think if you have a guy you think is can't miss and he plays defensive line, you have to draft that guy. I don't care if you think Nelson is 3.5 points better on your grading. If you have a can't miss guy on the D-line, whether it be a D-tackle, an end, or whatever, you got to go grab the guy. That's just the way I feel.
I'm not sure there are D linemen beyond Chubb that are listed as can't miss, Steve. I'm not convinced.
I don't know. Although
D-tackle's supposed to be deep.
They say D-tackle's deep, but if it's deep, then maybe you wait till a little bit later. I get the Nelson, Fuhrer, Ira, the excitement, and I would be very intrigued to see them do that. And I think the Glazers would be in favor of it because they know that, you know what, bolstering the trenches, you know, whoever's coaching this team in the future, you can't go wrong with a good 10-year offensive
lineman. What's the last time the Bucks had an offensive line? No, I'm being real here, Steve. With all due respect to Davin Joseph, who was a good player. When's the last time the Bucks had an offensive lineman who was considered one of the very best at his position in the National Football League? When's the last time?
Easy. Carl Nix. But he got hurt. Carl,
you're counting Carl Nix? He stubbed his toe 2 hours into his buck tenure over here.
Ira, the guy was awesome for 10, 11 games, and then he got hurt. And that was it. But he was the best in the league. I'm sure you voted for him.
It tells me everything I need to know when the first guy you're mentioning is Carl Nix.
The guy was the best in the league.
Carl Nix.
I'm sure you voted for him for All Pro in your time. He was a human armoire. The guy was incredible. but I understand what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, Joseph had a lot of respect
He's
around
the
league.
He's a good player, Joseph. He's a good player.
Very good player when he was healthy.
This is an elite player, Nelson. Nelson could be an elite player.
Yeah, he could. I mean, look, any guy you draft number 7 should be a potential elite player.
Tell that to Gaines Adams.
You know, including who guy you should draft at, 11 or 12. Tell that to Vernon Hargraves. You know, or Mark Barron was drafted number 7. So, I mean, these guys are supposed to be elite. I'd be happy with Nelson. Personally, I would
He's been compared to Steve Hutchinson. And you remember Steve Hutchinson,
yeah.
Steve. Was tremendous with Seattle, went on to Minnesota. The guy almost got into the Hall of Fame a month ago. He came close. He made the first cut from 15 to 10. It was his first year of eligibility. Lynch got knocked out at that stage, and Hutchinson survived. He was one of the 10 finalists. Now, he didn't make it year one, but he's going into the Hall of Fame. Hutchinson's going in the Hall.
Yeah, and my point about the Glazers was they know that, because you always have always said, Ira, you've always said on the podcast and in general, you know, they, when it comes to a premier first-round draft pick, they have some input. That they, you know, there's some input there. Not necessarily second, third, or fourth round, but a first round face of the franchise.
Not only do they want to know, but I think they weigh in a little bit, too. It wouldn't surprise me.
Right. So they know that, you know what, if the regime doesn't make it this year, a good, strong, powerful left guard fits in anybody's scheme, anybody's system. There's no scheme guard who's an elite guard. He just fits right in. So I think they'd be okay with that for the future of the team.
Now he could be gone, Steve. I mean, there's 6 picks ahead of him. He could be. He's that good.
I don't know if he'll be gone. I don't know.
We'll see.
I don't know. I mean,
I wouldn't trade up for him. I think it's too prohibitive.
Cleveland's got a lot of guard talent. I don't think they do it. And they have 2 of those picks. They're the quarterback guys. And then there's Chubb. I think he's going to be there. And it's going to be very attractive for Jason Light on a lot of levels because he could be a job saver kind of guy. I mean, to think of Nelson alongside Donovan Smith, who's in a contract year.
He'll make Smith better.
Smith's coming in a contract year. He's no dummy. And that could be just an unbelievable left side of the line.
And if Mark Pep can progress, you know, with his guard center play, and he thought he was playing pretty well towards the end of the year, then they might have something brewing there.
It's exciting, but man, it's not my first choice. But you're all in.
But
this
you wouldn't knock it.
Lee would knock it, but I'm all in. If they get him, I'm happy with it. But it's interesting that you're all in.
I'm all in.
That's your pick.
I'm all in on Quentin Nelson.
Ira Kaufman has given his pick for the Bucs.
Well, I'm with Jeremiah. I think you could argue he's the best player in this draft. Now, if you get the best player in this draft at number 7 at a position of need, boy, that's a beautiful thing, Steven. Beautiful thing. Now, I'm not denying pass rusher is number 1. Number 1 priority. But if he's not there, he's not there, Steve. Go. And I say it in the column. Go find yourself a jewel. Go find yourself a nugget in the 2nd round. Go find somebody in the 4th. Everson Griffin, 4th round pick. DeMarcus Lawrence, who Buck fans are salivating over. He wasn't picked in the 1st round. Go find somebody. Light's good at it.
There have been so many guys through the years, from Greg Hardy, not that he's your character example.
Light's good at finding guys in the later rounds. That's a strength of his.
You think?
Well, I do.
Who's
I do.
He found?
Well,
not a pass rusher.
Well, he's found Quan Alexander, and he's found, you know, Beckwith was a good pick, and there's been some other guys.
I hear you. No, not at the pass rush, though.
No, not at the
but
pass
he
rush.
Did, you know, I have to give him that. You know, we make fun of the situation, but he pulled Jack Smith off the street and got 2 years of very strong production from the guy. He's got to do that this year. He has to find a way to find that guy. We talked about it last podcast, that nobody expects
he's
anything
He's
got to
do it, Steve, because we got to be honest. Free agency is weak in pass rushers. It's just weak. Lawrence is not going to hit free agency.
Yeah, it's
There's
weaker.
No chance.
It's weaker than it usually is.
Ziggy's gone.
He's
right?
gone.
Ziggy's gone.
All right, so Ira, this takes us to back to the combine. Dirk Koetter today talked about how one of the things that was attractive for him with Brenton Buckner, the new defensive line coach, was that he looked at guys that Buckner got in Arizona, veteran players, and all of a sudden they were much better when they got there. And Koetter said he looked at it from the coaching standpoint, like, hey, I coached against this defensive end, and it wasn't much, and now he's in Arizona and he's productive. And he said that was a big thing that swayed him to go with Buckner. Does that scare you a little bit, that they think Buckner is going to make Robert Ayers, Will Golston, Will Clark, and these other guys
Steve,
better?
No, Steve, I don't think they're thinking that way. I think they believe he'll bring out the best in what you and I both think is going to be an overhauled defensive line. So I think his work with primarily guys who are not on the team. He's not going to make Gerald McCoy much better. Spence, we don't know about his injury, but there's going to be 2, 3, 4 new defensive linemen in town, Steve. That's just the way it is.
I'm getting scared that maybe it won't be, Ira. Because, look, Golston and Ayers...
We don't know about Clinton McDonald. Well,
no, but Golston and Ayers are still hanging around. Spence, obviously, they said today that he's been working out like a maniac. And they
You're going to be surprised if Ayers is cut loose? You're going to be surprised?
At this point, right now, a little bit, as we sit here today, right? You know. So, but
I think one thing that was answered... Guys. Steve, I think one thing that was answered in between the lines, tell me if you agree, and Koetter was asked this a couple of times. It was a pointed question, and a tough question, sort of like the timing of dumping Jay Hayes, the timing. You know, and I think the guy said 40 days after the season ended. Not 4, 40. That's not totally fair to Jay Hayes either in terms of getting a new job. But I think the more Koetter talked about Buckner, tell me if you agree, Steve, it's the fact that they had a chance to get Buckner. And they didn't necessarily know that January 5th. They hung on to Hayes. They brought him back. And when Buckner became available, Steve, that's the guy they wanted.
Well, look, Koetter was being a wise ass today, Ira. He was asked about that, the timing of it, after, hey, you renewed Hayes' contract.
He said, I didn't know there was a statute about it.
Right.
You know, that
like,
was
hey,
a stupid answer.
He's like, yeah, I didn't know there was a time limit on getting the best coaches for our team.
He knew what the question meant.
Right. So the general implication was by Koetter, hey, there's no time limit on when we need to get better. So this coach came available. We did it. But it still makes you wonder, look, if you didn't think Hayes was all that, geez, cut the guy after the season and interview 20 guys instead of just waiting for Buckner.
Right, right.
It's something, the whole thing stinks, but maybe it's probably for the best anyway.
When the smoke clears, it's for the best.
Yeah, we'll see. I still think Ayers is going to be here, Ira. The Bucks have so much cap room that I don't think they're going to give up on the guy. They got to spend the money somewhere.
Do you agree with me that they would be foolish not to give Buckner some serious input into into adding these new defensive linemen? He's got to have some serious input.
He should have major input because they've proven inept in that area. So it's like, you know, come on. You can't stand on your laurels here. He should be very involved, especially in the free agent process of picking these guys, these names that nobody knows about, that guy who got a sack and a half and now he can get 4.5 out of him. That's where we need Buckner. And that's why I think that he probably looks at a guy like Ayers, says, you know what, I can squeeze another year out of that guy. I like the energy. I like the work ethic. So that's why I think he's a Buckner kind of guy. Now
you haven't asked me one of the million-dollar questions,
which
is what the hell, if anything, is going on with the Winston investigation? We haven't discussed it, but it's a big thing, a big cloud that hung over today's press conference.
Well, yeah, there's some new action there. First, I want to remind everybody, EdmoresCadillacTampa.com. EdmoresCadillacBrandon.com. That's where you can start your shopping search. Check out all the offers, the ATS, the CTS, the XT5, the Escalade, all the fantastic Cadillac
models. We love it when our listeners and readers tell us that they visited Ed Morse Brandon or Ed Morse Tampa, because that shows we're having a little bit of influence too, and I think it's great news for the Ed Morse people,
too. You're making it rain over there, Sage. You're making it rain over there.
We love that.
Of course, your certified pre-owned Cadillacs come warrantied, inspected, fabulous opportunities. Check out their websites, EdMorseCadillacTampa.com, EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com.
And I might be offering a walking testimonial, Mr. Isbitz. You never know down the line what could happen.
Things are developing. Things are developing, Sage. And I didn't get it out, so it's EdMorseCadillacTampa.com, EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. All right. I'd love to talk football, but we got to get to this Uber thing. We'll go chronologically, and I'll spell it out for the listeners. And then, as you're already rubbing your brow here, you can't believe it. You're out of coffee. You can't believe this. All right, look.
I need a crawler. Go ahead.
All right. So first,
what did you make out of today's news?
Forget what I think. I'm going to spell it out for the people who didn't hear it. Jason Light was asked about the Uber investigation. What's going on? What's the developments? He says he's not talking about it. We're cooperating with the league.
Cooperating with the league.
That's all I'm going to say. And then he's asked, have the Bucks launched their own investigation into Jameis? He says, we're cooperating with the league. That's his response. So, nothing from Light. No nothing.
Are you telling me if Jason Light stood in front of that microphone on Wednesday and said to the media, yes, we have done our own internal investigation of the matter, and leaves it at that. If he says that, are you trying to tell me that would earn a fine from the National Football League? That's crazy.
No, of course not.
Of course not.
Of course not. The teams can look into, and they'd be...
I think it's incumbent on the team to do so.
Absolutely. They need to know what's going on. They can't wait around, and they, you know, there's so much at stake.
If you get a negative ruling, you need ammo to respond to it. If you're going to appeal it, Steve, you got to have some ammo from your own investigation.
Of course. So he left nothing there to chew on. And then Dirk Cutter was asked about this, and he says, I don't have any, quote, any information on it.
How could that be?
How could that be? So what do you make of all this?
How could that be? Now, you know, look, I'm not saying Dirk Cutter is detail freak to the extent of Greg Schiano. But this is, we're not talking about setting the temperature of the room in meetings or toes on the line. We're talking about, hey, what's going on with our franchise quarterback? You know, talking to Light, talking to the somebody in the building. Brian Glazer's office is down the hall. You know, Brian, what are you hearing? What's going on? Do we need a better backup quarterback? Are we in danger here? What do you mean you don't know anything that's going on? Well, you wash your hands of that? Come on now, Steve. That's an unacceptable answer. He doesn't want to talk about it. Nobody in that building wants to talk about this Jameis Winston investigation. And one of the things that did come out, one of the few little scraps of information, Buck fans don't want to hear it. Who was asked? Cutter or Light asked today? Did Jameis Winston discuss this issue, this matter, with his teammates, with the team, to your knowledge? What was the answer, Steve? That one they did answer.
They asked.
And I didn't like the answer.
Cutter got the question. Cutter said no. So now that confirmed what we had heard from multiple players, that Jameis never addressed the team about the incident or the investigation. He never said, hey, guys, look, I didn't do it. It's a bunch of BS. I know it's out in the national media. And look, this is just in one of those stupid things. It's all going to blow over. I didn't do it. Can't wait for this thing to get flushed out. I'm not talking about it, but if you want to talk to me one-on-one, if it's a problem for you, I'll talk to you one-on-one.
And you couple that, Steve, with the fact, as told to us by management, that Winston did not inform the Bucks of the original incident,
right,
of which he was certainly informed that his Uber account had been suspended. And I assume he knew at that time why it had been suspended.
Of course
he did.
Because
of the allegation.
The whole thing stinks.
And he didn't tell the team. I mean, what's going on here, Steve? I'm starting to think that he might be in a little bit of trouble, where originally I didn't think so.
The whole thing smells. Maybe we can be hopeful and naive that the Bucks just don't know how to handle this. But what the hell?
Well, you got to be Marty Herney to get and Jerry Richardson to get a quick resolution of an investigation. Meanwhile, you're hanging by a thread over here.
Why are we hanging? You could put all sorts of theories out there. I've heard the theory, and I've thought of it myself before I heard it, that, hey, maybe the Glazers want this to drag out to get more season ticket renewals, and then they suspend Winston?
That's assuming the Glazers have juice in the league office.
Right, to drag it out. I don't know. Maybe Jameis isn't cooperating? Is that possible? Now, we know that didn't work well with Tom Brady, but maybe Jameis isn't cooperating. Maybe Jameis said, I was drinking, I didn't do anything, and I don't even remember much.
Who the hell's who's the damn third guy in the camp, Jameis? Who is it?
The whole thing is nuts. It just stinks, Ira. The whole thing stinks. Now, there's not much we can whine about this. We talked about it last podcast. The next stop is the owners' meetings.
Who's in that camp? Joe Hawley? TJ Ward? Who's in there? Come on.
The next stop's the owners' meetings, where maybe we get an answer from ownership or whatever, but it's just nuts, man. And I'm sorry, everybody who listens can say,
people
well,
downplay it, who cares?
It's none of your business, Bucks fans, it's Jameis' business, it's a legal matter. Screw that. The Buccaneers ask fans to live the Bucs life, to follow the team every day, to get their app and suffer through all their alerts and watch all the videos.
Follow Gerald McCoy with the gamesmanship and all that. Stuff
follow
like
Gerald
that.
McCoy and be a part of the team every day. And these are the people you're also asking thousands of dollars from. They deserve whatever update you can
and
give
them. And their answer is, we don't know anything that's going on.
Yeah, right. I don't believe for a second that Dirk Cutter knows nothing. Nothing. Come on. Nothing? He prides himself, Ira, as a detailed guy, and he's a curious guy and an intelligent guy, and he's tight with Jameis. Jason Light reiterated today how tight the two of them are and that their relationship is incredibly tight.
Wait a minute. I thought there was a report last year that it was free.
Well, Light said the report today, he was asked about the report in the private session, Ira, and that that was just blindsided them and it was just baloney.
I know for a fact that Light texted the reporter before he issued the story and said, don't do it. There's not a shred of truth to it. It's inaccurate. And the guy did it anyway.
So the whole thing is just, it stinks, and that's where we are. It sucks.
You know, Steve, coming off a 5-11 season, do you need a huge distraction like this hanging over your head? Now, I'm not blaming the Bucks. I'm blaming the league. Stop fooling around, and let's get a resolution so the Bucks know where they stand with Winston in terms of a backup quarterback, a priority, more of a priority. I got no problem with Fitzpatrick. I don't.
Light made it clear today.
Mike Glennon mob's out there now. You know?
Light made it clear today that they want Fitzpatrick back.
Nice.
Now,
just like they want Brent Grimes back.
That's all we know, but that's a good sign.
Why wouldn't you want to come back if you were Fitzpatrick? He already told us, Steve, at the end of last season, the day after, when he was cleaning out his locker, he said, hey, my days of competing for a starting job are over, and I've come to that resolution. So if that's the case, Steve, why wouldn't you want to come back to the Bucs?
Ira, I warned listeners on your podcast that Fitzpatrick is a guy who has contract holdouts and negotiating tactics in his history.
This so is a sharp agent. Sharp agent.
And he's a Harvard guy, a sharp guy. He's got leverage because we all know Fitzpatrick could walk away from the game and he's set for the rest of his life.
But there's a lot of backup quarterbacks on the market,
right,
Steve.
Right. So we don't know where Fitzpatrick really is. And I don't put it past Fitzpatrick to play hardball and also say to the team, look, guys, I went 2-1. Looks like Jameis might get suspended. Come on.
But I think the Bucks have options, Steve.
They have options,
he's somebody that they know.
He's somebody they want.
Yeah.
And he did well. Yeah. I mean, what do Buck fans say? Here, let's throw it to you this way, Ira. What do Bucks fans say if they don't sign Fitzpatrick and he still plays somewhere else and Jameis ends up getting suspended, say, 3 games, and the Bucks go out there and they're 0-3 and the town's on fire?
They're going to say, how could you not bring back Fitzpatrick?
Right.
You blew it.
Right, and they wouldn't be wrong. Fitzpatrick is a guy I could see him negotiating, and why not? He's got leverage. You know,
just like Grimes. Grimes has leverage, Steve.
Glennon's out there.
Don't think for a minute Grimes doesn't have leverage.
The Grimes thing was addressed as well. The team likes Grimes, but nobody was willing to say that Brent definitely said he's playing in 2018.
He said he was going to make up his mind fairly shortly after the season. That's been 2 months. I haven't heard a peep.
I don't know. I don't know how much he's willing to negotiate, because think about it, Ira. Just let's just put the fans in the real world for a minute, right? Which is hard to do since we're not millionaires and probably...
And you love spending the Glazers' money.
And most fans don't have NFL money, right? But let's just imagine this, Ira. Imagine you're Brent Grimes. There you are. Miko's massaging you, and she's loving you, and she's baking you cakes and things like that, right? And here come the Bucks, and they say, Brent, we want to give you $8 million a year next year, and we've got some great incentives in there to get you up to 9.5. Just sign on the dotted line. $8 million is yours.
You play 15 games, you got 9-5.
Yeah. That's a tough thing to say no to. That takes a very strong man or a very rich man
to say,
I'll think about it. Or I'll take my chances or I'll think about it. And we're sort of led to believe that that's what Grimes has done, that the Bucks said, we want you back. We'll match your salary, Brent. We'll give you a 20% raise and let's go. And he said, I'll think about it.
One thing I think that's in the Bucks' favor, Steve, I don't want to read too much into it because you always say, you know, and you're right. You've said it for years. Money talks. Money talks.
And let me add one thing before you drop your sage wisdom, Ira. You know what? Bucks fans, they always want to talk about how, oh, you know, we want guys who want a ring and guys who are hungry to win. Well, you know what? Brent Grimes, guys, he might want a ring. You know, if we love him so much, he actually might be a player who says, you know what? I'd really like a shot at the ring.
Take a little
and the
less.
Bucks suck. So yeah. I don't like it. I don't like this, Steve, where we are now.
One thing I think is in the Bucks' favor. I don't want to read too much into it. But I think the fact that given the history, Miko was very quiet all of last season. And when she did speak out, it was kind of positive vibes towards the Bucks all year long. No qualms about the way that her husband was used in the scheme, his playing time. None of that. When we saw what she's like when she wants to get her husband out of a situation.
Right.
So by that, I mean, Steve, if the money is close. Now, you say if the money's close, maybe he wants to go to a team that has a better chance to win a Super Bowl. But I could also see where if the money's close, you go back to a place where you like the organization. And clearly, they had no qualms with the Buck organization. I think that's a feather in the Buck hat.
Well, it cuts two ways, Ira. It cuts two ways. Suppose there's a team out there that's willing to give Grimes a two-year deal.
Yes.
Suppose there's a team that says, Brent, we'll give you 2 years, $12 million, guaranteed with incentives. And the Bucks are sitting there with a one-year deal, and Grimes isn't stupid. He knows that, hey, this regime could be gone. And I'm out of here. No new coach wants a 36-year-old
and
quarterback.
And he could be saying, I'll play two more years and that's it.
Yeah.
I'm hanging it up.
He might be looking for a final two-year deal. And do you think the Glazers want to be chucking out any two-year deals here?
Well, I think they're going to listen to their brain trust, mostly Dirk Cutter at that point. And I think Cutter's all in on Grimes because Mike Smith's all in on Grimes. You and I don't want to think about the secondary without Grimes. I mean, the guy, you know, the guy is not Deion Sanders, but he's very reliable. And that is a critical word for Light and Cutter. Reliable. You know who's reliable? Chris Godwin. They love Chris Godwin. They said it again today. Reliable. Cameron Brate. Reliable. You can't have too many of those guys. And Grimes fits in there. Hasn't had a lot of injuries in his career. I think 1 year he had a serious injury. Missed a couple of games last year with a shoulder.
Yep.
And I think it killed him not to play, Grimes. He's not looking... He's not looking for a seat on the bench, Grimes. We've been around him long enough,
no,
Steve.
No, he's a starter. And, of course, Tremaine Johnson's hanging out there and some big cornerback names. So they have some options, but a lot of positivity about Vernon Hargraves today. No surprise, given, as you said about Sweezy, the investment into Hargraves. And, I mean, who gives up on a 22-year-old kid with talent?
I don't have utmost confidence that Hargraves can play the outside corner spot.
No.
And I don't think you do either. And I don't think the Bucks do either.
No, of course they don't. They showed it right on the field. They let everybody see it. But he'll be there competing, and I believe that they think that he's capable of bouncing
back. If he ends up playing slot corner, Steve, that's not a bad thing. Those guys are on the field 70% of the time.
And that's just fine. If he's a good slot corner, it's bad for Light's big picture resume that he drafted a slot corner and higher first-round pick. But who cares about that?
Who cares?
Right. We just want good players. Now, Ira, as we head toward the home stretch of the podcast here, first, I know you're officially going to the commission's draft party. It's going to be at Buffalo Wild Wings, South Tampa.
That's the high rent neighbor. I don't know if I'm allowed into South Tampa over there.
It's Steve? Right there on Dale Mabry, but of course, this is opening night draft party. I can't recommend it enough. I'm going to leave it at that. The pictures from last year, the videos.
You know anybody that didn't have a good time last year, Steve?
Except the people who got to the door and said, I'm not standing all night, and they left. And there were a lot of people like that, but I understand that. You know, you don't want
to... Or the people that walked in and said, if Dalvin Cook isn't a Buck by the end of the night, I'm all pissed
off. Yeah, or the ones who walked in, saw Ira, was like, Kaufman's here. What kind of... If I hear Bette Midler, I'm going to kill myself.
I might get a haircut this year at Buffalo Wild Wings. How do you like that? I might get a little Buck haircut.
Maybe Christian from Headlines Barbershop will hook you up with a little Bucks flag and...
Can you imagine that? Me going down the road in my Cadillac with Bucks.
Bucks flag in your
dome? Oh, my goodness.
I might throw a bonus in your paycheck for a little flag on the...
we can't wait for Port Richie Lou. We want Javier. It's
going
to
be fun, but I want to make sure everybody knows you're going to be there all night. We're going to be there early and often. And
Rock should be there, Steve. Rock should be there.
And the Sage will be talking to people, pressing the flesh.
Chanting.
You know what?
And we'll bring some. We'll bring some draft juice into the building about what you and I know at that point about what direction they might go.
Sure. You know what? I just thought, Ira, maybe we'll cancel your Friday column since it's a Thursday night draft, and we'll just do a little 15-minute podcast for Friday. Maybe we do that.
You know, like, see how you're always thinking, Steve.
Fresh Kaufman juice right out from the draft party.
Outstanding. Right. I had a ball last year, and I know everybody did.
So at the combine again today, overall.
Can you play it any closer to the vest than Messrs. Cutter and Light did at the podium, Steven?
Well,
they are so circumspect.
I got to watch it again, but it was sort of so bland and sort of eh. But here's my problem / concern / I don't know. I got to bang my head against
the wall. One of the big themes was, look at all the close games we played in. All we got to do is turn a few plays around.
That was the big theme. Big theme is we're close. We're damn close. And Cutter dropped some red zone numbers of how close they were to.
They had 5 more touchdowns in the red zone.
Yeah. You know, and they're close. I'm not sure I really saw a team on the field that looked close. They had close games. They got blown out. They lost 11 games. Just I'm missing something here.
Steve, you said it before the podcast. You play close games in the NFL. Half the games are 7 points or less. A quarter of them are 3 points or less. This is on a league-wide basis. Yeah, you're in close games. First of all, you got to learn how to win. And Cutter and Light's remarks don't address one part that I make on this podcast every week. You got blown out at least 3 times in road games. You were swamped in the first half. You weren't competitive. In Arizona, New Orleans, and Minnesota. You were not competitive at the half. Now, the other team left its foot off the gas a little, and, you know, I think the final score was a little bit less misleading, maybe a lot misleading. Fitzpatrick rolled up some big numbers and this and that. You weren't competitive, Steve. That's not a play here or a play there. You got to get over that, and I'm still pissed off about that display at Arizona because that's when I picked them to go on a 5-game winning streak, Mr. Isbell.
All right, your feelings notwithstanding, Ira.
Of course you're close.
Is that a dangerous mindset for a 5-11 team when you think you're close?
Well, it's a reflection on what else you're going to say, Steve. I mean, what else are you going
to
say?
There's a lot you can say. You can say, look, we're 5-11. We heard from Lovie Smith all the time. This is a 4-12 football team. We stink. You know, I mean, Cutter could... I'm putting words in his mouth, but he could come out and say, look, we got a lot of talent. We stink on the field, and I got to fix it. And we're figuring out the pieces, and you know we're far away in our great division.
You know what was an interesting...
You could say a lot of things.
Steve, I believe this came in the private session with the local guys. Correct me if I'm wrong, but with Cutter, somebody said, hey, you're standing here right now, and it seems like this team's got a lot of holes. Are you that far away? Do you have that many holes? And his answer was interesting. Well, a year ago, I was over here at the Indy Combine, and we were coming off a 9-7, and we didn't seem to have that many holes, and now we're 5-11, and we got all kinds of holes. You buying any of that? I think the whole thing is legitimate. You tick them off. The end, running back, corner, guard, got holes.
Those holes were ticked off for Cutter, and he said, well, it depends how you look at it.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I don't understand what's going on, Ira. I mean... We're never going to be happy with everything that comes out of the mouth of 5-11 coach and GM, but everything just stunk today. It just didn't feel good.
You got a couple, Steve. You got a couple of strengths. Every Buck fan, we're not telling them anything they don't know. Targets for Winston are deep and solid, although they better use DeSean Jackson a lot better. Cutter admitted that. Linebacker, I like the starters. Depth's okay.
Sure.
But, Steve, that's where it ends. Those are your strengths. There aren't that many. And if you want to consider Winston a strength going forward, but I think he's got to up his game.
Ira, this team had a ton of offensive weapons for the red zone. Cutter today talked about we were something like 7th in the league in getting
in there 53 times, and we don't score touchdowns.
7th in the league in getting in the red zone, but 24th in scoring. But it's not like the holes are there. right? You've got Mike Evans, you've got O.J. Howard, Cameron Brate, DeSean Jackson. You've got Charles Sims, who's proven effective in the red zone.
These are guys who know how to get into the end zone.
So what were you missing? You know, it's just, those aren't holes. That's just bad football. And then on top of that, you got holes. I don't know. I'm scared as a fan. I'm scared that the team believes it's so close that they can't see that they're probably a little farther away than they think.
Well, Steve, don't believe everything that was said today in terms of this. I think there's a realization that runs through the building, starting with the ownership suite. That's where it's going to start. There's a realization. We need serious upgrades. There's your word. Serious upgrades at a lot of critical areas. We talk trenches. You can't get around it. That's where I go back to Quentin Nelson.
Sure.
All right, he's not going to rush the passer, but he's going to help stop the other team from rushing the passer.
Sure.
So you can't lose. Don't reach. But, Steve, make no bones about it. They need a lot of help. They need a lot of new bodies going into 2018 that are going to play a significant role if they're going to take that jump up and get out of that damn basement. The damn basement of the NFC South.
And we're going to leave it there, Ira, because that's part of why I'm so scared of the mentality, because in the NFC South, no, guys, you're not close. Don't give me we played Atlanta tight
no
at home.
No reason to think the Saints are going to take a step back. No reason to think that.
No. And same for the other teams. It's just scary, a little disheartening, but this is the season of hope.
I see Marty Herney's cleaning a little house in Charlotte, Steve.
Yeah, Jonathan Stewart gone. They made a big change there, offensive coordinator. But, you know, here we are. We all sat around saying Atlanta would, you know, fall back from losing,
Shanahan. And they did a little offensively.
And they did, but not a lot. Not right. Enough to take him back.
And they almost beat the Eagles on the road.
Exactly, and now they have another year of continuity. They should be that much better. The Saints are obviously revived with a lot of young talent, all their rookie class. And so hopefully light comes through here. I'm not trying to be a downer. It's just today was weird, and we'll talk more about it when Lee comes back. I want to hear all that audio again just to further let it sink in. But the guard situation, now that we hear they're down on Pamphile and Sweezy's hurt, I mean, good golly.
Yeah, one more issue to worry about, but Steve, a lot more about Indy in our next podcast.
Final thoughts, Sage? You going to get that collar or what?
Well, final thoughts is, look, this team's going to look a lot different by the end of April after free agency in the
draft. But they're close. What do you mean, look a lot different?
They're going to look a lot different. You know what? I haven't given up on Light's track record to uncover some nuggets where you don't think they exist. He's going to get every chance. And ultimately, this might be his last chance. So they're bringing a sense of urgency to the table. Don't believe any nonsense you heard today about close. They know exactly where they are.
You know, Ira, I asked you for a final thought, so I'm not doing the right thing here. But part of that close, when they say close, Ira, what do you think they're close to? Like when they say we're close to being 9-7?
I think playing meaningful games in December, which they did in 2016, and Buck fans loved it. And it was a big impetus towards spurring enthusiasm. It triggered the stick carrier movement.
Hey, they did it in 2015, too, at 6-6. They just lost all the meaningful games.
You know, I'll give you a final thought. With everything we've talked about, Steve, and the guards and the corners and the defensive ends and this and that, if Winston doesn't get nailed on the Uber investigation, and my information from a few months ago is that he will not, we'll see if that changes, but that he will not be found.
Time to update that with that source.
But Steve, if he's clear to that, if's the biggest word in football. You know that in sports. If. Like you take spring training with baseball. You know, every team says, if this guy comes back from rotator cuff, you know. Whatever. So what I'm saying is you can take all these other things. But if Winston makes a significant leap forward, significant, in terms of cutting down some of his turnovers, and being more accurate, especially when he's looking for DeSean Jackson. If those things happen, it could affect the Bucs in a significant way in the standings. Just that alone.
Hey,
just that alone.
There's no question that they'll go as far as Jameis takes them. And really what you're saying, Ira, is if they score more points, they're going to win more games. And who can argue with that? And they have the ability. The horses are there to put the points up.
So get out of here, Steve.
Get out of here, Ira. Quentin Nelson.